Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Democracy, the God That Failed the Economics and Politics of Monarchy. Democracy and Natural Order is a political philosophy and political economy book by Hans Hermann Hoppe, first published in 2001. It is a collection of essays that presents a sustained critique of modern democratic government from an Austrian economics and libertarian perspective. Hoppe argues that democratic rule tends to encourage short-term incentives, higher spending, expansion of the state, and cultural as well as institutional decline. He contrasts democracy with monarchy, which he treats as a different incentive structure within the same basic framework of state rule, and then moves beyond both toward what he calls a natural order, a stateless society organized through private property, voluntary association, and competing jurisdictions. The book is provocative, theoretical, and intentionally polemical, making it relevant to readers interested in political theory, the history of state power, and radical critiques of democracy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hoppe's core claim democratic government rewards short-term extraction over long-term stewardship. The central argument of the book is that democracy does not solve the structural problems of government power. It changes their incentives. Hoppe presents democratic rulers as temporary caretakers who face constant electoral pressure and therefore have an interest in maximizing present benefits rather than preserving long-term capital value. In his view, this produces a systematic tendency toward higher taxation, rising public debt, bureaucracy, redistribution, and policy drift that serves organized interest groups more than society as a whole. The significance of this claim is not just anti-democratic rhetoric, but an incentive-based explanation of why state expansion occurs even when officials claim to represent the public. Hoppe uses this framework to interpret broader social decline, including weaker social norms, greater dependence on government, and the weakening of fiscal restraint. The book's strength lies in this structural lens. It treats political outcomes as consequences of property and control arrangements rather than simply moral failures of individual politicians. Secondly, monarchy as a comparative benchmark for state incentives rather than an ideal political order. Hoppe's comparison with monarchy is one of the book's most controversial features, but it serves a specific analytical purpose. He does not mainly defend kingship as a desirable end state. Instead, he argues that if one assumes a territorial state must exist, a hereditary ruler has stronger incentives than an elected politician to preserve the long-term value of the realm. A monarch, in this model, is more likely to treat the territory as an asset that should be maintained, rather than as a short-term opportunity for extraction before the next election. That does not make monarchy free of coercion, exploitation, or injustice. Rather, Hoppe uses it as a benchmark to show that democracy can intensify the defects already present in state rule. This comparison matters because it challenges the common assumption that democratic government is automatically more restrained or more civilized than older forms of rule. The book's argument is methodological as much as political. It asks readers to judge systems by incentive structure, not by their ceremonial legitimacy or popular appeal. Thirdly, the natural order as Hoppe's stateless alternative to both monarchy and democracy. The book does not end with a choice between two forms of state. Hoppe's preferred ideal is what he calls the natural order, also discussed in libertarian literature as private property anarchism, ordered anarchy, or anarcho-capitalism. In this model, there is no compulsory state monopoly over law, taxation, or defense. Instead, individuals and institutions interact through private property, contract, and competition among service providers, including security and dispute resolution agencies. The importance of this idea is that Hoppe treats political authority itself as the problem, not simply bad governance. His analysis implies that many functions assumed to require a state could be supplied through voluntary, market-based arrangements. This is one of the book's most distinctive contributions because it moves from critique to institutional imagination. Readers encounter not only an attack on democracy, but a broader theory of social order that tries to explain how law, security, and coordination might emerge without centralized sovereignty. Whether or not one accepts the conclusion, the book forces engagement with a radical alternative to standard constitutional politics. Fourthly, decentralization, secession, and free migration as practical responses to state overreach. Although the book is highly theoretical, it also gestures toward practical remedies for large-scale political centralization. Hoppe discusses secession, regional decentralization, and the transfer of control from larger governments to smaller local units as ways to reduce the damage caused by democratic mass politics. This is tied to his belief that the larger and more distant the state becomes, the easier it is for ruling coalitions to impose costs on diffuse populations while shielding themselves from accountability. He also emphasizes greater freedom of contract, occupation, trade, and migration as mechanisms that would weaken coercive monopolies and increase voluntary cooperation. These proposals are not presented as incremental reforms within democracy, so much as strategies for limiting the scope of centralized rule. The book therefore matters to readers interested in federalism, local autonomy, and anti-centralization arguments, even if they do not share Hoppe's full ideological position. Its practical value lies in connecting institutional scale with political accountability and showing why smaller jurisdictions may better preserve liberty than large nation-states. Lastly, Austrian economics and social theory shape the book's method and its limits. The book is grounded in Austrian economics, especially the importance of property rights, economic calculation, and incentive analysis. Hoppe's critique of democracy is not built primarily on electoral data or policy case studies. It is a theoretical argument about how different ownership structures shape behavior over time. That gives the work a coherent internal logic, but it also creates one of its main limitations. Readers will find a priori reasoning, abstract political economy, and categorical claims about state incentives rather than a balanced empirical comparison of regimes. This is part of why the book remains both influential and contested. Supporters value its conceptual clarity and its challenge to complacent assumptions about democracy, while critics object that the argument can feel overly deterministic or insufficiently grounded in comparative historical evidence. The book stands out because it combines economics, philosophy, and political theory into a single anti-statist framework. Even readers who reject its conclusions may find it useful as a rigorous example of how libertarian social theory interprets institutions, power, and civilizational change. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, uncompromising critique of democracy from a libertarian and Austrian economic standpoint. It will appeal to students of political philosophy, political economy, constitutional theory, and the history of state power, as well as readers interested in decentralization, secession, and stateless political models. Its practical value lies in the way it reframes familiar institutions through incentives it asks who benefits, who pays, and how time horizons change when government is publicly controlled rather than privately held. Intellectually, it offers a clear and systematic alternative to the assumption that democracy is the natural endpoint of political progress. What makes it stand out among similar books is its willingness to go beyond reformist criticism and argue for an entirely different social order based on private property and voluntary association. At the same time, its sharp tone and radical conclusions make it controversial, so it is most useful for readers willing to engage with a demanding and explicitly anti-statist argument rather than a conventional defense of liberal democracy. If you would like to support Hans Hermann Hoppe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.